So welcome everyone. This is the we had a few sessions on server reporting and business intelligence. That's the last one for this conference. It will be a continuation of what you learned before, and we will also see some new things. Is that thing working?
Yep.
Yes, perfect. So I'm Marc Boyer. I'm a program manager at Microsoft. The reason why you see these buildings is because you may get a little bit of an accent from me, and that's because I was born and raised in Paris. And today I will be co-presenting with Christine.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. I thank you for sticking it out with us here on our last session. It's a beautiful afternoon, and Mark had that great architecture up there, so I thought I'm from San Diego. I'm with a partner called Somnoyan, and I thought I'd put up some of our architecture from San Diego. And I'm sorry if that's a.
Yes, look, they are buildings.
So I apologize for all you traveling back to the East Coast into the weather, but this is a typical day in San Diego. So go ahead, Mark.
So business intelligence. I'll do a couple of quick recap. For the people who might know exactly what we are going to talk about. So business intelligence, very important thing for people who are using Project Server. There is actually one of the main reasons why somebody would buy Project Server is to be able to create some reports and to have something, to have some tools better than looking at raw data in order to make an educated decision. So some of you have been using business intelligence for a few releases now. For the people who were, then we did a few changes this time, mainly because we wanted to improve performance and also because we were moving online. The first big change that we made is that we consolidated all four databases that we used to have into one single database. Okay? And this single database has different schemas. The schemas map the database that you had before. So that should not change anything, and actually that's one of the good things that adopting that method is that if you had some reports that were working before, they will continue to work because we did not change any of the default names that were there. So you will still be draft and publish and archive and all of these things. Another thing that changed, the OLAP settings for the ones that are using the OLAP cubes, they moved to a new place in the SharePoint Central Admin. They are still there. If you cannot find them, try to look at the documentation. You will be able to get to them. And then last, the one thing that you've heard us mention a lot, I mean, I'm pretty sure you heard us mention online a lot, and when we talk about server reporting online, we have to talk about OData. And we implemented a new open data protocol. I'm going to talk about this today, how to try to be performant with that OData protocol. This is going to be mainly useful for project online, can also be used for on-prem, as Christine will show you. So what are the data sources that you have in order to access your data? Well, the first thing is directly the reporting database or the reporting schema now. That's very useful if you are on-prem, if you are using an SSRS connection, for example. You can directly hit the SQL database, you'll get your data. A lot of you are doing this, and a lot of you will continue to do this for this release, maybe a little bit later. The multi-dimensional OLAP cubes, that these are also available for you. That's an on-prem, just like accessing the reporting DB directly. These two things are for on-prem only. You will not have access to this online. What you have access to online is the OData feed. The reason why you have to get through the OData feed is because online you are in a multi-tenant environment, and we are not going to give you the keys of the SQL database online with the data from all of our customers. So OData is for you the way to send us some requests, and then project will transcribe this request into some SQL queries and send you the result back.
Does everybody know what OData is? Okay, it's a standard protocol for getting data out of a data warehouse, and there's a whole schema and set of instructions about how OData is supposed to be structured and how you're supposed to be able to get access to it.
So
yeah, can we, Yeah, can we put that to, can I put that on the parking lot for later? And for those of you listening, because we're recording this, I'll repeat his question when we get there, okay? Sorry, Mark, go ahead.
I think there is another question. No, it was the antenna as well.
So the question was, is OLAP new for 2013 or online? And the answer is no. It's been around 2007?
Yeah. See, that old.
I don't
know. I don't have the answer to this.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So data visualization, how are you going to view your data? So, well, there is a whole set of Microsoft tools that you can use to view your data. The first one that we are encouraging people to use now, especially if they move to Project Online, is Excel and all the Excel add-ins. And for the ones of you who were at the other sessions, you could have heard Mike talk about the Power Pivot or the Power View. There are some other ones, Power Map and Power Query. I'll talk about the Power Query today. Just as a quick overview, all of these add-ins are free add-ins that you can add to Excel, or some of them even come with Excel, like Power Pivot now. You can add them to Excel as long as you have a Pro Plus license or more. The other way for you to visualize your data, the other tool for you to visualize the data that is very important, is the new Power BI SKU that is currently in preview in Office 365. What that SKU will give you is you will be able to get to publish some reports online that will have a bigger size, I think up to 250 megs now. And more importantly, something that a lot of customers have been asking, you'll be able to automatically refresh and schedule the refreshes for this report. So one of the issues that we are going to mention is that OData may be slow sometimes if you are in some situations. If you automatically refresh the reports, let's say every morning at 4 a.m, every user who would get here will just get the data that is interesting for them. We not have to wait until the refresh happens. And last, one of the standards to create some server reporting and business intelligence is the SSRS tools that are shipped with SQL. And you probably heard the news that we announced that now you are able to use SSRS tools with Project Online via the SSIS connector. I'm not going to present this today. I'm only going to talk about it a little bit, and I have a slide about it. But you are welcome to ask questions on that thing as well. I'll answer you. Forgot Christine on that. You can also build your custom app, and that's something that Christine will show you. We'll build an app from scratch for Windows 8 that is going to show some server reporting directly into Windows 8. That's something that is, we are seeing a trend of more and more companies doing things like this now. So getting access to your OData. So as Christine mentioned, what is OData? OData is Open Data Protocol. It's becoming a standard. We are up to version 4 now, that is almost finalized. Has been available in SharePoint since 2010, available for us for this release. And it's an HTTP-based protocol that you can access on port 80 or 443, very easy. And it can spit out results in Atom, XML, or JSON. There are multiple things that you can do with this. And I can show you how to access your OData stream directly from your tenant. So if you have a tenant, and all of you have a tenant now because you receive the a 3 month trial, all of you have an OData stream with your tenant automatically. I'm going to show you how to do this. So I just to make it faster, I use this. So what I'm going to use here is I'm going to launch it in the browser. So in my browser, I can do this. Let me show you. That's my project web app. You all have this with your tenant. Now suddenly, if I go back to the URL and I start adding _API/project-data, which should be in memory, and I got the JSON one, so sorry, the JSON answer is not the simplest one to show in IE, so that's why I'm I'm going to get the regular XML one. I'll be fine with this. I don't need this.
Sensitive.
There we go.
There we go.
So you have the all of the 35 collections that we support, and we support all of the collections that are there in the reporting database. That gives you access to all of them just by going to that API. So to that address. So you see, all of you have that stream available today. And just on a quick thing, so we just saw how it's working like this. I talked about the format. So by default, Excel only support XML. The new Power add-ins that you have, they start to support JSON and JSON Lite now. And JSON Lite is like at least 60% smaller in payload compared to XML. So I would encourage everybody to try to use JSON as much as you can. The connection that we just built here, I can show you some other things. But so here we got the list of all the collections that are available. I can try to add. Actually, not try, but I can add a metadata flag at the end of this query. And now I have the list of all the collections that we support, as well as all the properties that we support for every one of these collections. So I can scroll down and show you that all the collections are here. And you will see for the properties, you have not only the property name, but as well as the type of property that is that property. And that's very important when you are going to build something after that, or if you are going to manipulate this data in code. So going back to my slide. So what I'm going to show you is it's using a REST query type, 35 type of tables that are available for you, and I can show you actually directly. I'm sorry, I'm switching fast, but so we looked here. What we looked here is just the organization of the data. But now I'm going to actually directly get some data. So if I do this and I put projects. I don't want JSON for. Here you go. So, all the projects that are available to me in my tenant, they are all here with all the properties. I just launched a very simple query. Get me all the project results, and that's what I got. I have to mention that there is some paging that is being done there, so it might affect project or not, but. Once we start hitting 100 results, we page. So depending on the tool that you use, the tool will be able to handle this paging better or less. Excel handles it very well. A browser, for example, doesn't handle it very well. If you are using code, at the end of the stream, you get a URL, and then you have to follow that URL to get the rest of the result. Speaking about permission, so I mentioned paging. Speaking about permission, so You need to set up the permission to be able to access that stream. There is one thing that is important. So in SharePoint permission mode, by default, every portfolio viewer, portfolio manager, and administrator, obviously, will have access to that field. You can change this, but this is the default. If you are in project permission mode, in that case, you even have a server reporting service permission that you can set up to every individual user or every individual group. Now, when this is set up, this is giving access to the OData stream for that specific user and to the whole data stream. So that's something to keep in mind, is that this user may not have access to all the project directly, but will have access to may not have access to all the project via the web interface or via the Project Pro, but will have access to all the data through OData. So that's something to keep in mind. Let me move on this. I talked about the paging. So should you be using Excel or the Power Query add-in? So putting aside the case where you are going to want to use SSRS or you're going to want to create your own custom app, you have a choice of using Excel native, and natively Excel supports OData and supports a connection to Office 365. As I said earlier, the Excel team built a few other add-ins that can be added. They help a lot. They make it much easier to manipulate the data. They all have a different purpose, and it might be confusing at first to see the difference between all of these. here I'm going to show you the Power Query one. Power Query helps you create a query very quickly. And I'm not necessarily going to get into the details how you can use it to tailor the query and to create the real query, but just that's the one thing that you have to remember. You can easily search on MSDN or on the published documentation on some Power Query demo, and then they will show you even more information. I am going to use Power Query as an easy tool for us to visualize the stream that is changing depending on the query that I'm using. So let's talk about the performance a little bit. So we have a common, let's say we have some customers coming back to us and saying, well, Odetta G, that's great, but it's slow. It's slower than hitting directly the SQL. There's nothing we can do for this. It's physics. You cannot go against physics. But there are ways to make it better directly by the customer. So every time what happens when we have somebody telling us that it's slow, we ask to see the workbook. And in the majority of the cases, when we look at the workbook, we can see that the workbook was not built very efficiently. And by that, I mean that if you are used to create report in SSRS, you don't care about limiting the amount of data that you are going to receive. You have all the data available to you, you know, and that's fairly easy for you to do. Even the reporting tool is on the same box as SQL typically, and then it's very easy for you. You don't have to limit yourself. In Odetta, you have to limit yourself. So think about this best practice model in order to build your report. First, get a sample data. It could be one or two projects, let's say two, three projects with some tasks in it, not the project that had the biggest amount of tasks, but something that is representative for you that will have the properties that you care about. And build your report using this sample data. That should be, first of all, you should not be very limited when you are going to get your data, because you have a sample data, you don't have too much data. You can build your report very easily. And once the report is built, look exactly at the properties and the tasks that you are going to show, or the items that you are going to show. Very often, we see people retrieving everything and only showing, they are creating three graphs, and they are showing the project percentage complete or the top issues. And in that case, you don't need to download all the data. You don't need to pay the tax of having to get all the data through the stream and then have Excel compute all of this, or the Excel web app compute all of this, and then after that show the result. You should get directly the data that you need. So again, best practice. Get your sample data, create your report. When you see exactly what you need, go back to your query and then train the query to only get the data that you need. And you will see tremendous improvement. And we were able to see this in most of the customers that we talk to. There are some times where you need to have everything. In that case, you have to consider the case where Power BI, for example, allows you to refresh everything on a schedule with a schedule refresh, so you can schedule at night and then in the morning everything is fresh. You can consider the new SSIS tool as well in these situations. So now let's talk about a little bit about Odetta and how you can use the data to try to get information. So let me go back. First, let's talk about this. Odetta, the version that we implemented in this release is Odetta V3. And that was the last one at the time where we implemented it. Again, as I said at the beginning, there is a newer version now, and it's not yet implemented. The Odetta V3 that we implemented, we support almost all the options that are there, except the ones at the bottom, and I will get to them at some point. So the first important option that we support is the select one. That's the one that is allow you to select the number of properties that you want to get. By default, we return a lot of properties for every different item. So it's a good practice for you, if you're not going to use everything, to only limit the properties set to the one that you are really going to use. The second option that I wanted to mention is the filter one. The filter one is going to allow you to filter the number of results. So let's say, for example, you only care about the top five issues that I mentioned earlier. Guess what? You can ask Odetta to only return the top five issues. And that is going to also help you, obviously, tremendously. use with these options, you can ask OData to order the data for you. That's sometimes useful for you. And you can also, again, in my example where you only care about the top five issues, you can also ask OData to automatically order everything by one specific property, and then after that only retrieve the top five. That's something that you can do. Now about the options that we do not support yet. So for the ones that are used to using SQL queries, these are the ones that are mapped to the join queries in SQL. So that's the ability to expand and link a query. That's not available yet. It's a little bit unfortunate. We do have some workaround, and I'm going to show you how you can use the association field in order to do some of these things. For the meantime, know that this is not available yet. If you are going to depend on this a lot, I encourage you to look into the new SSIS connector. So next thing. Now let's try, for example, to limit the amount of data that we are going to get. So I'm going to, sorry, I know that I'm not on the screen. I'm going to do this, see what I have here. Okay. So I'm going to go to Excel. Okay, just for simplicity. So in Excel, you could go directly here. I clicked on data, and then you can go from other source or data feed, and you can put your data feed right there. I'm going to use Power Query because it's a little bit simpler to view and to visualize the data. It's also faster. Same thing. Get external data from other sources or data feed. I have my thing in memory. I'm going to get to project data / tasks. That's what I care about. And I'm getting everything because it's the first time it's setting up the connection, but you can see it's downloading everything. There you go. I have all my tasks that are on my tenant with all the properties. And you can see that's a lot of properties. By default, if I take the task collection, for example, we return 100 properties per task. I can bet you most of your reports will not use all of these properties. So for the ones that I created recently, actually, I was using the names or the project names or the completion. So let me show you what it could be. That's what it is. Again, I have it in my notepad here because it's a little bit faster, but I'm going to show you. I'm just changing the URL. You know, I'm not going through the same path, but the only thing I did is, so I was up to here at task. I added the dollar sign to add some options, and then I added select, and these are the only properties that I want. Okay, so out of these things, now if I do this, if I do a refresh, much faster, I only have five properties, and that's much more useful for me. You know, suddenly I was able to get something that I can even start to parse with my own eyes, you know, not these 100% tasks that, these 100 tasks that I had, not even counting the custom tasks that you may have, because you can have up to 45 tasks, I think, in project online, even more in on-prem, there is not even a limit, I think. So think about the amount of data. For example, what I did here between 100 tasks to 5 tasks, in my calculation yesterday, I was able to save the amount of downloaded data by 90% by doing something like this. So something very important to remember. If you are only going to use some of the properties, only download these properties and nothing else. Am I doing on time? I'm sorry, I'm looking at this because I didn't start this early enough. Yeah, I should be. What's that? Yeah, so here we are talking about Excel, right? So yeah, is the data cache? That's the question. So we are talking about Excel. So in Excel, when you are going to download things, even in Excel or even with the add-in, when you are going to download the data is stored in the data model directly into the workbook. Okay, so it's not automatically refreshed every time you want to use the data. So when you are going to manipulate data and construct your report, you're not going to have to download everything at once. You download once, and then it's done. It's good for now. After that, you can hit refresh. Yes?
Utilizing that in Excel services, does that auto refresh?
Yeah, so I can tell you about this. So it auto refreshes if you use the for Project Online, if you use the web app refresh. So yes, it does. There is a trick to know. What's that? It's a good question. So there is a trick to know. So by default, you can refresh manually only.
Okay, and even to refresh manually only, you have to enable this feature, and I have a slide on it because I know that Mike mentioned it yesterday but did not tell the people how to do it, so I want to have this on record, how to do it, but you have to enable the web app refresh at the site collection feature level, and this allows you to refresh manually. Now, if you want to refresh automatically, this, you need to have the Power BI SKU. That's a new SKU that is coming. It's in a preview right now, so you can use it right now. As a disclaimer, I do believe that as of today, the auto refresh is not available on the preview that is available to you, but it's going to be available soon because it's available to us and we are typically a couple of weeks earlier. So you will have this soon and you will be able to preview this soon. So another thing that I like to do is, well, I got all of these tasks, but at the end, I'm going to show something where I only care about the task that I completed. Okay, and I'm only going to show, let's say, 20, for example, on my page. So I don't need to download everything. So here, I started building something, and I can show you how to this work and tell you exactly what I actually, you know, I'm going to do it like this. So I'm going back to my query. And I think I take a little bit of the D. So this is where I was before. I was at the end of completed. I was just defining the properties that I want to retrieve. Now I added that. I want to order all the return tasks. I want OData to order all the return tasks by percent complete in a descending order and get me the top 20 because that's the only thing that I'm going to show. So now if I go to my refresh button, I only have 20 tasks, order per percentage complete, and that's the only thing I'm going to show. That's the only thing I'm retrieving here. Let me move on to the next slide. So, same thing here. I order by a specific task, by a specific property, and then I return only the top 20. You may want to do some more calculation there. For example, here you have an example where I can filter by saying that I only want to see the task where the actual duration is greater than 10. You know, I use greater than 10 here. You could have an equal sign. You could have a not equal sign. You can have less than, you have all of these things, and or all of these logical operators are available to you. Now, one thing I mentioned earlier that we don't support the link and the expand properties, the expand option. So one way, I'm going to show you one way to do this because we support the association field. So the way you can do this is, let's say, for example, I want to get all the tasks associated with the project. I would use a link normally to do this, or join normally to do this in SQL. The way I can do this in OData is I can do it doing this using this method. Let me show you. So first, I'm going to back to my the same query. You can see that I'm not hiding anything. I'm going to get the list of projects. Okay. And this. Remove all of this. Okay, list of projects. Same problem as before. I got all the properties for all my projects, so it kind of makes sense for me. What I'm looking for is a project ID, and then the project name so that I can know exactly which project I'm going to talk to. So I'm going to only get the, I think I have it somewhere. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to only select these properties. So the properties that I care about, again, are the project ID because I will need it, and the project name so I can know exactly which project I'm talking about. So project, question mark, select project name and project ID. Let's go. Here you go. So all my projects in my tenant, much more easily browsable. I have all of these. Let's take one that makes sense. Payroll system upgrade. That seems fun. Let me add that thing. I'm going to copy this. And actually, the way I also have it in that thing because I prepared. Let me show you how I can use the association field. So you can see I'm going to the project field, and I'm entering a specific GUID that's for this project only. That's the one I looked at. And I'm saying that I want to have the task for that specific thing. What? Can I zoom? No, I don't know. How do I zoom? Control 1. No, Control F1. I don't know. Let's refresh this. And now you can see that the data is flowing, you know. And I could also have used project data for this. So the yes. So I think that we are going to hit a limitation for this release of the Power Add-in. I had a beta version that is not entirely done. Let me. I'm sorry. I can tell you what's happening. So this Power Add-in, this early version, does not handle this situation very well. So let me do the same thing in Excel directly, which will show you how Excel can import data. And Excel actually handles this situation much better. Yeah. So the you have so it so. Questions about the permission that you have to enable in order to get this data. So in SharePoint permission mode, again, portfolio viewers, portfolio managers have access to this this information, as well as administrators. You can change this and you can add this to anybody you want. In project permission mode, there is a specific server reporting setting that you can set up to a specific group. All the people who have that setting checked in will have access to that that data. And as I mentioned earlier, they will have access to all the OData query. Okay. Let me go back to my screen here. So I'm still downloading. I think that there is something screwed up with that Power Query. So I will I'll pass on this. Maybe if I have time, I will show it to you later. There is one more thing that just briefly, because I think I will be done. One quick thing that I wanted to mention is that you can also decide to do some filter on some specific property. Like, for example, here I have an example where I want to only see the tasks that are going to finish in February, you know, or maybe the project that are going to start in March or things like this. It's very easy to do this using the using OData as well. Yeah. So So the question is, how can you use this association to get, for example, data from, I think, the assignment and the and the baseline assignment? So yeah, exactly. It won't work in that case. Association is hard-coded and works between some of the tables, doesn't work with all of the tables. I think that in that case, we don't have a solution today for you. So the solution that exists today, the workaround that exists today is you can get all of the data and then use Excel and Power Pivot to do these things. It's very powerful at doing this type of manipulation. Or you can move to the SSIS integration. That's the way for you to do it. I cannot give you a when we are going to implement these missing options. It is not as simple as implementing the option. There are a lot of work that we have to do on our project code as well. So there is no date for that thing. But in your case, you can either rely on the power. I would suggest Power Pivot, that is very powerful at doing this, or SSIS. And speaking of SSIS, so that's what we presented. I'm going to go briefly around this because maybe you saw this a couple of times, but that's the ability for you to suck up all the data from project online and to save it into your own on-prem or SQL database. And I can, I see people are taking pictures of this, I can leave it. This will be available to download, the presentation will be available to download anyway, but if you have any questions about this, I can answer these questions. Quick thing that I mentioned earlier before, that's for you, in order to set up the web access, web app refresh for Excel, you need to enable this, and that's at the site collection level, okay? You go to the the gear and then site settings, and then you go to site collection feature, and then you want to look for this one, for the project web app permission Excel web app refresh, okay? Thanks, everyone. I'm going to let Christine do our impressive show. And just so you know, we started easily here. I think we're going to end with a bang with what Christine is doing.
Yeah, if that wasn't technical enough for you, we're going to go even more technical. But the real big win for OData is that it's a standard. It's not a Microsoft standard. It's a standard across all organizations. And it lets you get the data that you need to inform your users. And that's what I like about OData. So, for example, I'm from San Diego, and earthquakes are a little bit of a big deal down here, right? And so what OData allows me to do, not only can I get my project stuff, but I can go up to the USGS earthquake site and download earthquake data in OData. So there are a lot of different places to get OData. Now, you saw Mark do Excel, and I think you heard in the keynote this whole notion of mobility and cloud and everything. And so I have mobile in quotes because mobile isn't what mobile used to be just last year. For example, I have right here in this form factor, this is a Windows 8 Pro tablet. It's a little bit larger than the new Nokia 50. Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit bigger, right? So this whole notion of, okay, I'm doing it for on-prem, I'm doing it on-site, I'm doing it for mobile, this is technically mobile, right? My Surface is mobile. So how do you present the data? For me, my entire career has been about communicating. So as a PM or as I'm writing reports, what am I trying to communicate? And this whole notion of apps, what did I just do? There we go. Technical problems. Is that an empty slide? Shouldn't be. Is my stuff not there? My stuff is not there. Swell. So what we'll do is we'll go over to my machine where I have the stuff loaded. So this whole notion of, you know, how do I present my data? Let me find my conference slide. I wasn't counting on doing this, but it's fairly easy. This doesn't have the whole stuff in it, but it's got my stuff in it, right? Oh, no, it does. Yeah. So, wow, no, that's not the right slide. Yay. Nope. Oh, I think this, let me try this one. Yeah, we changed it. So what is great about this data is getting the information out to the people who are consuming it. And we can do that with the OData, and we can do that in Excel, but you know, it's becoming an app world. And what does an app mean that changes daily? And we actually have several kinds of definitions within project and the SharePoint area about what an app is. So what I would suggest for you guys to do is to think about who your user is. Okay, how are they going to look at it? I'm assuming because you're here, you are makers of and sending out the data, you might be interested in doing an app. So think about what kind of activities are you going to support in that app? What kind of features are you going to? Are you going to do geolocation? Can you put that in presentation mode? Yeah. And what capabilities? Are you doing accelerometer? One up. Oh, there we go. Awesome. Just one blank slide. There we go. So before I move on, sorry, I'm a little discombobulated by the technical issues. I really shouldn't be. But what I want to do is I want to show you something that I've done. It's a Windows 8 app. So here's what's interesting about the technology that we have today, no matter what your flavor is, we are starting to get used to the data coming to us. Like on our phones, our emails beep at us, our Twitter stuff, our Facebook. So really the opportunity is to have these, in Windows 8 now we have these live tiles, right? And so the opportunity is to have the data come to the user rather than them going to look for it. So let's take a look. This is written against OData. It's a Windows 8 app, releasing next week. So I've actually, so this is made for executives, stakeholders, PMs, anybody who's interested in determining the status. You saw another really great app at the keynote the other day. But I can put projects on my watch list. I can look at planned versus actual. So for example, I'm an executive or a stakeholder, and I see this network traffic management, you know, over here it's only 7%, but look how much over budget they are already. I think I'm going to go talk to Lori and see what's going on with that project, right? And then I can also see, you know, where I'm light on resources as well as some of my active risks. And this is just a few of the features that are in this app. But I wanted to show you how rich and responsive this kind of app would be. And we're actually going to build a little bit. It's not going to look as nice as that. Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're actually going to get really deep in the coding, right? So first off, you're going to think about who your audience is. And it also varies. So the question was, you know, how do we get from the OData to something like my app? Am I going? So let's talk about the different kinds of apps. We have SharePoint apps first, right? We have, and I don't want to, I'm already spending too much time. So we have SharePoint apps. These are web apps that are either hosted in your project server or SharePoint or by another provider. They access the project data through OData. So there's authentication. If you're doing provider hosted, you'll want to use what's called the cross-hosted library. Then we also have the Office apps, right? We have Excel, Word, PowerPoint, Project. So a task pane, you have the task pane in the middle. What kind of information are you going to pull down from Project to give to your users? These are desktop apps currently, but I can see that they might go to the store modern design. And then this whole notion of mobile, Windows Phone, store, other iPads, things like that. So these are the different kinds. Now, I put this on the slide so you have a reference to it. I'm not going to speak to it, but this is sort of the pathways that you need to think about when you're doing your app or how you're going to consume your OData. Okay? Are you going to be using third-party premise? Are you going to do Office? What's great about this is there's a one set of libraries, like the OData is the data, but for Office and on for SharePoint apps, you can use the JSON or the CSOM libraries to access that data and program against it, and you're using just strictly HTML, JavaScript, your typical. Now, this one was more important to me as a reference because it tells you sort of, okay, here's all of my options. So I think for me as a developer, you know, how do I go? There was a lot of confusion, like how do I get this data and use it and consume it? And it's really about what you're comfortable with. There are so many options now, especially like if I'm doing a Windows 8 app, I can do it in HTML, JavaScript, and use all of my web programming experience. I can use C# and XAML. I can use C++. I can even use Visual Basic. How many people are Visual Basic? I started out in Visual Basic. So let's talk about what type of, so here's the trick, right? When I'm in an app, I'm not in the browser. When I'm doing the OData in the browser and in Excel, I already am authenticated against the project server site. So when I'm doing an app, I need to know how I'm going to authenticate. So if I'm on premise, you know, the computer or the user that I'm associated with, is it domained or domain joined? Okay. So for example, I'm a contractor. I'm not on your domain. I have my computer. How do I get authenticated onto your project site? The other way is for the online, right? So I have domain joined, I have non-domain joined, and then I also have this whole other set of Office 365 credentials. Now, if I'm on-prem, I have simple authentication. Notice right at the middle where it says client handler dot user default credentials equals true. It reads the credentials that your computer signed in. Boom, it goes up and authenticates, and you're done. It does the async call out, and you're all set. Now, online is a little bit different because I have to do this whole little dance of how am I going to get my credentials. So I go up and get the token. I sign on with my user ID and password. I go up and get my token. I bring it down for my cookies. And then the app is then authenticated as you for going against the project server. And that uses claims, STS. And we're going to be seeing the claims today because it's the harder of the. There's actually a couple of other things you can use, the JSON and the CSOM. So let's take a look. Thank you. So here's my project. Okay, I have a project, and what you'll notice about this project, it's in Visual Studio 2013, is that I have actually. So in this solution, I have three projects. I have a claims web service, and then I have my Windows 8 app. Okay? Basically, I'm going to use this web service to go up and get my tokens and my cookies and bring them down so that my app can use it. So let's take a look at that. First off, though, I don't want to be storing my password anywhere that can be hacked or things like that. Windows 8 actually has a notion of this password vault. Okay, so as a developer, I can choose to store that credential. Once you put it into my app, I store it into the password vault. And that's what you're seeing right here, is what I'm doing is I have stored it out in the password vault. And now I'm going to go in and get it. And everything happens in this data.js to go get the data. So I go get the data out of the password vault and the credentials. So I get this. It's encrypted, right? So I'm bringing it down. And then I go authenticate. And what I'm doing, and basically to authenticate, is this async call right here. And by the way, at the end of this slide, this is actually based on a project that's available in CodePlex. If you know about that, you can download it yourself and play with it. Not the project stuff. I added the project stuff because it does search and things like that. But it, all the web service stuff is there. So I go out to this web service. Let's take a look at this web service. I told you this was going to get technical. So let's look at the web service. So I have this interface that I added. So so this project comes with the authentication and the search. But what I added was this get project data. Okay. So when I made that XHR call out, it was using this authentication web service to go out. It goes out to STS, gets the token, uses that token to get my cookies down, and then I'm good to go. And you'll see that in practice here in a minute. Okay? So my login is a success. Now I need to go get my project data. Okay? So the authentication returns these two credentials, the FedAuth, these two right here, the FedAuth and the RTFA. Okay, I retrieve those again from settings. Here I'm using local storage, but you could use roaming storage, or you could even again use the credential locker. I don't use the credential locker because there's a time limit on them. So even if this laptop was stolen or something like that, then it would expire in 12 hours versus, my password is, unless I change it. Here's my async call to my web service called projects. And that's over here in my web service. So I'm calling this method called get project data. Let's take a look at that. First, it does a query. Let's take a look at this query. I think this might look a little bit familiar given what Mark just did. Does this look familiar? So I'm going out to my site in my project data. I'm actually saying where my project name is not an admin project. And I'm going out and getting these fields. Literally, that's what I'm doing. Then I pass it back. And then the web service goes out and gets with the tokens, gets the data, and brings it back. Pretty simple. So let's take a look at this. You ready? Let's run. Fingers crossed. I haven't done any styling to this. Boop. Kind of ugly. But you can see this data is coming back live from the OData. Okay. All I'm doing is using, Windows 8, I'm using a list view, which is a dynamic control for data. I can change the color and the styling and the background and all kinds of fun stuff with this. As you saw in my app, the project watch list is a list view. The issues, risks, and deliverables was a list view, but it was just in a different, it was in the list layout instead of the grid layout. Okay? But let's say, I'm bringing owner down. So let's say that I want to group by owner. Let's take a look at that. So I actually have this call for the group list, and it uses the group key, the group data, and the compare groups. Now let's take a look at that. So you really need to pass it three functions. What am I grouping on? How do I determine how they're sorted, and what do you want the group title to be? It's really all there is to it. So I'm asking, okay, I have this previous one. The current one, is it less or more than the other one? Is basically what this function does. I'm telling it to use owner. So if I wanted it to be EPT type, department, I could just change this. And then I'm asking it what the group title is. Now I have to do some different things in my HTML. Nope, in my home.js. So literally I'm saying in the list view, this is my data source. It's just a straight feed for the project data. All I'm going to do now, watch this. I'm going to comment that out, and I'm going to uncomment these three lines. Basically, I'm saying go out and use this new group data source. Here is the header information in the group list.groups data source. And by the way, here's how I want you to show the data in the header, because I didn't have that before, right? So that's all I did. So let's take a look. Grouped by owner. Okay, kind of ugly, but it works. So let's go and say, oh, I wanted to do one thing. I wanted to show you one thing. I meant to do this in the previous. Where did I put in my credentials? Now, Windows 8, it's all about more content, less Chrome. And the typical place to put that is in the settings. So what I did was I instantiated a settings and had a little bit of fun with this, what's your next project. And then when I go to login, there's my credentials. Now notice my password is a typical password field, and I'm not seeing it, and it's stored in the credential locker. So I don't have to worry about somebody stealing my laptop and or my tablet and getting my credential. So I wanted to show you that real quick. Now, so that's a little bit ugly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change this from dark to white or light. And I'm also going to change this one to light just real quick. And let me show you what that does. And it basically changes the whole theme from dark to light. Now, I can style any of these elements with standard CSS3 tags, right? I can make my text any color. As you saw in my app, I can make the background any color. It's all CSS. I still think this is kind of boring. And I know that I brought down the project health, okay? So let's take a look at this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take each project and I'm going to change the background to the color dynamically of the project health. Now, can anybody tell me how that data is stored in PWA? Like if you set up a project health indicator, you typically have the words red, green, yellow in there, right? So I'm going to use another tool called Blend. And I use this to do all of my styling in because it's awesome. And it's very integrated with Visual Studio. Okay, they talk to each other. So when I change something in one, it changes to the other. And typically I have my tablet with my Visual Studio where I do all my coding, my C# or my JavaScript. And then I have Blend up, which is where I do all my HTML, CSS, because it's really easy to see. So let me show you that. So while that's coming up, I'm going to take a real quick drink. Now notice in Blend, I have a very good representation of what my app is going to look. So it's really easy to do styling in this tool because I can immediately see what did I just do and do I like it. So let's style. We want the container. So here's my project container, and notice what I also like about this with CSS stands for cascading style sheets, right? I always have a hard time, okay, I changed it here, but it didn't change it in the app. So where is it getting the style from? What I like about Blend is this whole winning properties. I can actually see where the last style is coming from, why it's acting that way, and then correct it. So for example, so I have the list container, which is my style, and then I also have this light CSS. You saw me change it, right? So let's take a look at this breakdown crawler, and I actually want to data bind it to the project health. So all I did, if you missed it, was I want here, and I want data binding, and I'm going to choose project health. Done. So let's save, and I'll run it. And I can run it from Blend, or I can run it. Now notice what happens in Visual Studio. It says, hey, Blend updated it. I'm going to go get it, and let's run it. Now all my projects are based on color. So it makes it really easy to see which ones, like Chris, I need to have a conversation with Chris, right? So hopefully that'll give you a good indication of, I mean, I'm just really scratching. 30 minutes isn't a lot to, but hopefully that'll give you an indication of what's, yes, sir. Yeah, exactly. And there's a really good article on, I actually have it listed in my references, on doing OData and stuff on other mobile devices that you wouldn't use claims, but like the iPad, I don't think you can do claims or web services on an iPad. So there's a whole issue with that. But there's some really great articles out there, but this just really, really, really scratches the surface.
Okay, we have another question.
I don't know. So the question was, could I use core data? Would I have to pull it into core data, or could I pull it straight into iOS? And the question, and the answer is, I have no idea because I don't do iOS. I'm sorry. That's a good question, though. Yeah. Any other questions so far? I mean, I went through that code pretty quickly. I hope you catch on what was going on. And this project is out there for you to consume or download. So before we go.
Yeah, so four things that I would like you to remember. The OData is very easy to use. As you can see, you were able to manipulate it. You can even play in the browser and see the result right away. So I encourage you to use all of this. A lot of Microsoft tools to do this, from Excel to the Power BI SQ in the cloud, full spectrum of things that can help you manipulate it and create nice views after that. Pay attention to your queries, as I said. A lot of the performance issues come from queries that are way too vague, that are getting way too much data. Try to restrict this. That is going to help you. And think about the new SSI scenario. If the getting directly the data in Excel is not floating your boat and doesn't work really for you, think about the SSI connection. That's something that is going to be useful now. And there were some other sessions related to the BI and server reporting during this conference. I encourage you to go look at the piece, all of them if you want to, but PC232 is an important one for the ones who missed the how to actually visually create something using the Power View add-in, and you can very easily create some very nice reports with maps and everything, and I know we all love maps. So that's something to remember. You are able to download these after the conference ends.
Yeah, and these are recorded, so they should be out there in a couple of days, maybe a week at the most. Yeah, everything, including this session. So if you want to go back and take a look and that kind of thing.
Okay, so.
Come on. There we go. So these are the references that I was talking about. So for getting authentication, it is under the SharePoint. It does apply to Project Server. So for authentication on the fly, if you're writing an Office app, this is the permission on the fly that you'll want. You can use it also with a Windows 8 app. I wanted to show the claims as well because it was a little bit tricky. This project I started with this Codeplex project. It's an awesome project. It's available for free. You already have all of the claim stuff in there. All I did was I deleted his app, his Windows 8 app, and I wrote my own. And then there is actually a blog by another guy from Israel of where each piece is explained, which is an awesome blog, and that's what this one is. And then Kirk Evans, he's a senior premier field engineer, I think, for SharePoint.
Yeah.
He spoke at Build last year. It was an awesome talk, and I recommend you, if you have any other questions about authentication, I'm not a systems person, so it's like setting up an STS on-prem or claims or things like that, I'm probably not the person that you want to talk to. So this Build session, he talks about the whole hosted and the cross domain. And then for Windows 8 development and also Windows Phone, this is a really great place to go, the dev.windows.com. Plus there's dev.office.com, which I should have put on here as well for Office development stuff. And I believe prizes, yay. So please fill out your evaluations. We'd love to have your feedback. I hope you've got a lot of information from this session. And hopefully, I know it's late in the last session, but hopefully your brains are working and stuff that you can do with it. And go for the prizes. Prizes are good.
And we have.
Does it use a, so the question is, does my app, because it consumes data, use a license? Yes, it does. And with the new $7 stuff.
For
yes. Yeah, because you're accessing the data, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I don't remember the marketing and sales name, but as long as you are going to use the project data inside, you are going to view it somewhere and look at it, you need to have a license for it.
Yep.
Right. So and if you're
just an individual that already
uses that web,
yeah, you're
fine.
Same license.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I can be at the airport and look at my project updates and things like that. And
you can also think about, you can put it on your home screen, for example.
Right.
So suddenly something lights up, something does a push, you know. Right
yeah.
away.
That's I forgot to mention,
useful.
Yeah, like live tile, secondary tile. So I can pin any of those projects onto my start screen and watch it. Like if that Lori project that was completely over budget, I could pin that to my start screen and just watch the status and see if she corrects it or not corrects it. Thanks. I forgot to mention that in my ramble. So
I think we have 10 more minutes for some questions, maybe a little less. Derek?
When did your app release?
Next week.
That's what I do. I go to the properties. That's,
so repeat
that's
the
what
question.
I would do. So the best practice to modify a query once it's created. So if you are on-prem, there is an awesome tool that is called LinkPad. Sorry, that's great, but doesn't work when you are connected to a 365. So that's unfortunate. I believe that, as we call a partner opportunity, somebody will come up with something that works, and that will do exactly this. Seeing how many of these exist for on-prem, I don't think that there's a lot of money to make out of this, but somebody will do it and will make everybody's life better. So it's that should be something great when this will happen. In the meantime, I opened the query and I edited directly by hand. Yeah. Any other questions?
Any other questions? No? Well, thank you very much for coming, and safe travels to everybody. Wherever you're going, I hope if you're going back east, you don't have any issues with travel. But we enjoyed you attending our session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.